Lord bless you and help us to have open hearts tonight as we listen to this new message. It is Wednesday, May the 13th, 2015. And I was feeling kind of punky this afternoon. Tired and discouraged and, I mean, golly, you know, after the beautiful message you gave me the night before, you'd think I'd be all excited and all enthusiastic and, part of me was, but the other part, you know, was just hurting from fibro and a little bit tired and wondering, Lord, when are you coming? Soon, soon, I hope soon. So as I was in worship, I didn't spend as much time in worship tonight as I usually do. I stopped and I said, Lord, I need to talk to you. Please restore my faith and expectation that you're coming soon. Oh, Jesus, this is so hard. And he answered me right away. He said, the harder, the better. No, that's not what I want to hear. And how many souls do you want to snatch from the fires of hell before I take you to myself? Oh, Jesus, where's your mercy? Where's yours, my love? I know I'm being selfish. Indeed, is it too much to ask that you wait a little while longer when a man or woman's eternity hangs in the balance? Of course not. See, I knew you would agree with me. Not much longer, my love. Please hang in there. And I just want to stop and put an aside in here, and that's that he's talking about giving a little more, you know, giving time to rescue people who are right on the brink of receiving him. And also he's talking about the hard part is sometimes the suffering, and as I've gone over in my healing teachings, sometimes the Lord asks us to carry the cross like Simon did and to carry the cross for other souls, to help the word get out to them, their hearts to be changed. He's done all the work of salvation. We're just enabling with our prayers and our sacrifices to bring them closer to the kingdom. So I just wanted to make that clear with you. I'm not talking about saving anybody. I'm talking about supporting the work of salvation that's already finished. So I said, oh, Jesus, where is your mercy? And he replied, where's yours, my love? Well, I know I'm being selfish. Indeed. Is it too much to ask that you wait a little while longer when a man or woman's eternity hangs in the balance? Of course not. See, I knew you would agree with me. Not much longer, my love. Please hang in there with me. Well, without the comfort of distractions, Lord, this is hard, hard, hard. Several times today I wanted to follow up a link. And someone would send me something really interesting, and I wanted to check out the link, and I couldn't because I had promised this time to the Lord and not be carried away with any distractions. So I said, well, without the comfort of distractions, it's hard. And he answered, and with distractions? Well, at least it seems bearable. But when the distractions are over with, it's back to that blank sky of waiting? I guess so, but at least it's closer to the end of waiting, time-wise. Lord, you know that getting closer to you only makes us hurt all that much more, because we want to be with you. The more real you become to us, the more we want to be with you. He said, would you rather I don't visit you with consolations? Okay, now I put my foot in my mouth. And a big foot it is, too. Yes, make me laugh, that helps. No, I'm serious, you do have big feet. Okay, what does that have to do with the price of tea in China? I don't know, I don't drink tea, only premium Colombian coffee, Turkish grind, Campesina style. That's an inside joke. I make my coffee a little bit different than most people, and we learned to do that in Colombia. So then he said, did you say that, or am I imagining things? I said it. I did. I really did. Don't you know the lengths I go to see you smile? Lord, can I take a little break? I'm really hurting. Go ahead. Can I come with you? Of course. Then expect me to speak to you while you're away from your computer. Well, that sounds delightful. And I did take a break. We have a very small hot tub, and I got in it and did something about the fibro because it was killing me. And he did speak to me when I was in the hot tub. He told me something that he wanted me to do. Anyway, I'm back, Lord. I'm here with you. What would you like to speak to us? I waited for a few moments as it was quiet, and then I heard him say, faithfulness. And I thought, oh, like endurance, hang in there, be patient. All my favorite subjects in this very moment. No, I'm serious. Faithfulness is a major window into heaven. What do you mean? And he put the scripture on my heart. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. That's Hebrews 11. My love, by the very fact that you are here right now, doing what you are doing, that is faith. You believe, therefore you receive. Some on your channel are not receiving because they do not believe with their whole heart that I will indeed speak to them. This is an issue I want to address. My children, you believe that the sun will rise in the morning, that the buses and trains will run on schedule, that if you turn on the faucet, the water will flow. If you flip the switch, the lights will come on. That if you call your dog, he will come. Is it such a great thing to ask that if you seek me with your whole heart, you will find me? That is why I directed Claire to take great pains to lay the foundation of faith in the scriptures, to not be afraid of a relationship with me. Here he's referring to a fear of intimacy with God, which is in the Wounding Waters series. This is not something new. It is something ancient, as ancient as Adam and Eve, when I came and walked in the garden and spoke with them. Once you have laid the foundation in the scriptures, you may safely move forward, but do so in faith that I will reward your efforts, because you earnestly sought me. For you must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he'll receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. That's James, the first chapter. And if you lack faith, ask for it, he continued. I will surely increase your faith as you take baby steps to trust me. And that is the bedrock issue here, trust. And proceeding from trust is faith. And who do you suppose is constantly shipwrecking your trust in me by lying against my character? Yes, the father of lies. He is about his business of deceiving people, especially about my character. It is a slap in my face to believe that I will not come true. I will not be faithful. It is a slander against me, and I wait for my people to defend me, but instead they turn the other way and give up. They believe the lie. This intimacy that you seek is highly threatening to Satan. For a deaf and dumb Christian is not much of a problem. They can't hear me, so they won't be taking any ground from him. But a Christian who listens to God and obeys, he is a problem. He will take ground from the enemy. That is why your faith is under attack as you pursue me and consider it a high priority threat to the kingdom of darkness, right there alongside of prayer. The problem is your prayers are useless without faith, and faith comes by hearing. And I don't mean just noise in the background. I mean hearing with your heart builds your faith, as you eat and digest my word, and it becomes a very part of you. So the enemy uses the hot buttons on you: rejection, ridicule, delusion, and insanity. Those are all hateful things to be called, so you avoid those tags at any cost. But how can you believe when you receive your praise from man? Do you not see that as long as you depend on others for your validation, you will be lame and weak in hearing from me? I'm lacing this message with scripture because some of you are saying the messages are not scriptural. And for that reason, doubting the veracity of this vessel, to you I say, stop your unbelief, for it's robbing you of the treasure of my presence. And the enemy knows full well that once you've cultivated my presence, you will not be fooled and misled as those who are mindlessly following all they hear in the pulpit. Then he began to quote parts of John, 1 John. Dear children, this is the last hour, and as you have heard, the Antichrist is coming. This is how we know it is the last hour. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from me remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as my anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in me. Dear children, continue in me, so that when I appear, you may be confident and unashamed before me. And I just want to say something really quickly here as an aside. The whole point of our channel is to get you in your own relationship with the Lord so you can hear him clearly, so you can't be deceived and led astray. I mean, these times are really, really dangerous, really perilous. And even the elect would be deceived were it possible. Well, part of the job of the elect right now is to make sure their connection with the Lord is good and tight, and that they're hearing from him so they can't be deceived. And that's the heart of this channel. So we're getting attacked. And these attacks are attacks against our character. But one should ask themselves, why are they getting attacked? What are they teaching that's such a threat to the enemy? And the simple answer to that is, we're trying to teach you to get your own words from the Lord and to be so tight with him that you can't be deceived. Okay, so we'll continue to read what he anointed for us. So set yourselves apart from those who would shame and condemn you for seeking the higher gifts. Courage is needed, along with faith, to overcome the voices of the enemy that surround you. Even those closest to you are easily persuaded against your pursuit of me. Remember, I have told you, anyone who loves mother, father, wife, or children more than he loves me is not worthy of me. This is no time to be cowardly in the pursuit of holiness. This is the time spoken of by the prophets, when the strength of kings must uphold you and lead you to the truth, standing against all opposition. You will not succeed without detaching yourself from those you love and those you respect. Your first duty and commitment is to me, and those the enemy uses against you are to be loved, but not bowed down to. So I am calling you to set me apart from all your other relationships and compromise no more to any man, for this will be your downfall. This is the time of great testing that is coming upon all who dwell on the earth, and to give in now is certain to lead down the road of compromise that ends with the mark of eternal damnation. So stand strong in what you know in your heart to be true. Expect without allowing insinuations of doubt to creep in. Expect me to move upon your efforts and visit you, for truly I am a God who rewards those who diligently search for me. Open your eyes, open your ears, retune your mind and your hearts. Pay attention. I speak to you many times during the day, but you are like men who have fallen asleep at the gates. You do not recognize the King when he comes to you. I am blessing you with a new anointing to hear me, to look for my messages to you and everything around you. The wind in the trees, the sun on your path, the bumper sticker in the traffic jam, the numbers on your clocks, the call of the dove, the heart shape when you cut open a tomato or spill on a counter. Oh, I speak to you in so many ways. Open your ears and your eyes now to hear and see me. As you practice this, I'll become clearer and louder in my messages to you. The signs of my love are all around you. Go now and begin to acknowledge them.